Thank you, Rachel and Unity Band. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Margie Olson on your Board of Trustees, here to share a few announcements. All of these announcements are for this week. There is a lot going on at Unity. Starting with a couple of opportunities for today. Number one, if you're new to our spiritual community, you have an opportunity to share coffee, tea, and Reverend Pat today at 1 o'clock. Get to know him a little bit better, get to know a little bit more about Unity. And also at 1:30 up in the Fillmore Room, Nia Claire is here today to share the meditation, and she's going to lead a workshop called Beginning Meditation, Enjoying the Silence. Participants of all experience and comfort levels are welcome to come and join her in the Fillmore Room at 1:30. Then a couple of opportunities for Wednesday evening. At 6:30, there's a healer orientation for those that are just interested in, I wonder how the healers do what they do. I wonder if it's something that relates to me. You can come at 6:30 and just learn a little bit more about that. And then at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, Kay Brandt will lead a book discussion on William Meador's book called Shine Forth, Wisdom About Living the Issues of Our Lives Day to Day. Thursday evening is New Moon Drumming here, and then Saturday we have the annual cleanup and potluck. So 9 o'clock, meet here, do the cleanup together, and then potluck following. And then next Sunday, our music will be provided by the South African Youth Choir, which is an amazing opportunity to come and hear them. And if you want more, they're also going to be at McPhail Saturday evening, and there's information about that in the bookstore, admission information. Also, next Sunday, again, it's still this week. Next Sunday, Kurt Mitschke is going to lead a workshop called Befriending Your Inner Critic using the Enneagram. So how to befriend our inner critics using Enneagram. And if you haven't done that, there's information about having your Enneagram type. And then today, right now, we have Larry Beckel, who's going to come up and talk to us a little bit about his experience with Enneagram. Larry.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Larry Beckel. Do you ever get the feeling that you're just not good enough or that you not deserve the good things in your life? The voice in your head that is telling you this is your inner critic. Do you want to be able to break this cycle? Kurt Mitka is doing a workshop, Befriending Your Inner Critic, next Sunday from 1:30 to 3:30. Kurt uses Enneagram tools in working with this important topic. This is not a workshop to study the Enneagram, but to give you some practical steps to shift your relationship with your inner critic, to free up your energy to be more in tune with your heart's desires. I have always been a world-class procrastinator, and my thoughts have frequently been, why start, because I will not do it right anyway, or I do not have the energy to complete what I am starting, so why bother to start? Inner critic work has helped me to see the choices I am making, why I am making them, and has given me some tools to use to break this unproductive cycle. I feel this workshop will be very helpful to you if you're a student of the Enneagram, but also if you just want to more closely align with the third unity principle. We are co-creators with God, creating reality thoughts held in mind. Thank you. I hope to see you there.
Thank you. So that's next Sunday. If you haven't had your Enneagram typed, you can get information out in the garden court and contact Kurt, who will then help you in advance, and then you can come on Sunday for the workshop. So that was just this week. There is a lot more going on. Information out in the garden court. And if you don't already receive your Peek at the Week weekly online, you can sign up for that as well. So now we're going to get ready for our service. If you would take out your mobile device, check in if you feel called to do, and say, hey, everyone, this is a great place, and you're welcome here, and then silence it, and we'll all have the opportunity for a service. And now, Reverend Pat.
Join me in our opening prayer. I invite you to go to that place within yourself where you know and you feel God's presence. Let us take a deep breath together and just let go. Giving thanks for each other, giving thanks for a greater awareness of the divine within us. We're truly grateful to be blessed by this congregation and by so many others. So it is with great joy that today we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. We invite you to call your attention to our values. Our value for the month is transforming. And this congregation has defined transforming as experiencing a deep spiritual change through divine love. This congregation says that we will demonstrate this value by we live the unity principles consistently and co-create our lives. We embrace clear communications, holding each accountable for our actions. Now let us affirm our core values together. We are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. Our vision together, centered in spirit, we celebrate a world transformed by love, peace, and compassion. Our mission, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. Let us applaud this wonderful day. I invite our on-duty Unity prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early. They held sacred space in this beautiful sanctuary. They're here today to hold that sacred space with you, to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, by all means, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. Thank you for your service, and you may be seated. Lori Dokken is on vacation today, and I'm going to invite Rachel to introduce our musical guest today.
All right. Some of my favorite people ever. This is Sean Turner on the piano today. Jen Dean Forberg on the drums. And of course, our own Dave Burgett on the bass. And Cheryl Lang singing with me today on the hymns.
Thank you. Laurie's on a well-deserved day off. Let's stand together as we sing together, Witness. The words are in your bulletin. We welcome you. We're glad you're with us today, and we certainly welcome those that are live streaming with us as well. You know, one of our core values here is that of welcoming. Therefore, one of our favorite things to do each and every Sunday morning is to welcome those that are with us, that are our guests. So today, if you're with us for the first, second, or third time, would you please allow us to honor your presence here today? We're going to do nothing drastic. Just take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand, calling all courage out there. Courage, 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 courage over here. I knew we had some courage back here. We got some courage. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. The packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. There's also a welcoming CD in that packet. If you choose to fill out any part of that pink card, we turn it into our bookstore, we have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can give you a very personal welcome. All of us important, and yet one of the most important things that I say on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this. And that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you're welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, we behold the living presence of the divine within you. Let's appreciate these marvelous guests, okay? And of course, we enjoy welcoming each other, do we not? We do it with a handshake, a hug, a smile, namaste. We ask before we... Let's... Let's remain standing. Let's remain standing for this next song. It's a stand-up song. By the way, if you did not get a chance to speak to the person you wanted to speak with, we invite you to join us for coffee and tea in Friendship Hall following today's service. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it
shine.
Let's do it together, okay?
Into spirit with the reading of the daily word and the singing of the Lord's Prayer, in the singing of Inside. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you're invited to mentally add your prayers to the written requests in the box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days. And then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is free. I am free. I am unlimited. The lyrics to the hymn, I Am Free, I Am Unlimited, are regularly sung in spiritual centers of many faiths and denominations. They resonate on a universal level because they express an important truth. in simple words, a proclamation of spiritual freedom. I may encounter daily challenges with my work, relationships, finances, or any number of other elements of this human experience. My ego may immediately believe me to be trapped, forced into painful choices, shaped by the demands of others. I remember that I am infinite potential. I am always free. At such times, I hear my true self gently singing me the truth. I am free. I am unlimited. There are no ties that bind me. 2 Corinthians, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The word for today, free.
Let us now prepare for meditation. In the stillness of this moment, I invite you to take a deep breath, relax in your seat, and close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and out, feeling yourself relax. Taking another breath, allow yourself to let go of any thoughts or feelings that may distract you from this present moment. Let go and relax. Allowing yourself to go into that still, quiet place that dwells within you. Breathe and relax into this quiet moment. Take time to pause and restore your natural balance, connecting to your highest self. The divine love of God flows through you as you breathe in and relax. God's love is as steady as your heartbeat, ever present, always working for your highest good, always. Divine love flows in and through you as easily as you breathe, breathing in, breathing out. In this blessed moment, all is well. There may be mountains of things to do, worries to overcome, resistance to release. Yet in one holy instant, the obstacles are removed, the worry eased, and resistance laid down. You can let go and trust that you are shown the way. Going within, we connect to our divine wisdom, opening to listen to that still, small voice. Opening more with each breath. Feeling free and peaceful. Peace in the quiet. As you rest in the power of God's love and infinite guidance, release and let go. Allow this sense of peace and ease to wash over you as you rest in the silence. Taking a gentle, deep breath, allow your whole being to rejoice in this moment of peace. Enjoy as you let go and embrace the sweetness of life. In this beautiful moment, breathe deeply and become aware of your surroundings, more present to the deep sense of peace within your heart. And so it is. Amen.
Earth hometown. Hey. Magnificent, Rachel. We are in our third week of our book study of Discover the Power Within. Reverend Pat covered the eternal quest the first week. Second week, he talked about Jesus' concept of God. And now this week, I have been blessed to talk about the law of non-resistance. And I must say, I didn't have to beg, supplicate too much. But I got it. Praise God. Okay, so isn't it funny how we get to preach or talk or study on exactly what we need? Yeah, I mean, amen, yeah. So I absolutely love this book, and as I'm sure all of you do too. So I covered Reverend Pat's class this past Thursday, his book study, and this one gal told me, You know, I'm in recovery right now, and I have my big book, which is marked up and all of that, but I have my Discover the Power Within, and it's always in my bag, her purse, what have you. She said, and it's marked up much, much more than her big book. She said, that is saying something. I'm telling you, this book speaks to so many people and has helped so many people. And I am certainly one of them. So what is this thing called non-resistance? I wanted to look up the definition of non-resistance by Charles Fillmore. It's one of my absolute favorites. And it says, a passive state of mind. The law of non-resistance is taught by Jesus, is demonstrated only by erasing from the individual consciousness every thought of personal rights. That is really heavy, powerful. I thought, ooh, that's a little bit more than I might have thought. But it's true. Personal rights, leave them be. And then he also mentioned a comment made by H.G. Wells. And he named six people who have ever lived that, and the name of Jesus Christ headed the list. Wells said, Jesus is entitled to human leadership because of his doctrine of non-resistance. The greatest truth ever uttered by man. The others on the list were pretty powerful also. Buddha, Asoku, Aristotle, Roger Bacon, and Abraham Lincoln. Very interesting list of people with a wide diversity of backgrounds. And they were obviously picked because of the fact that they took so little from this life and gave so much. And then there was one other incredible observation I just want to share, and that was Reverend Butterworth's comment about humankind and non-resistance. It's kind of on the other side of the spectrum. One of the saddest things in life is man's propensity to use force to get his way, to use a battering ram instead of a key to open doors. This tendency is the cause of most of all the world conflict and most of our inner conflicts, too, which in turn causes most of our physical ailments. Without a doubt, if Jesus' teachings were universally understood and practiced, we would see an end to all wars, all conflict between nations, factions, and races. And we would see one giant step needed toward eliminating the root cause of humankind's personal problems, including their physical disabilities. Jesus's concept of non-resistance is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. And I want to read it. It's a little lengthy, but it is worth it. Oh my gosh. It says, and if the right eye causes thee to stumble, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not the whole body be cast into hell. And if thy right hand causes thee to stumble, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not thy whole body go to hell. Matthew chapter 5, 29 through 30. Jesus is a genius at the use of metaphor, and that is what he was using then. He's pointing out here that one true need in our lives is to get right in consciousness with God. That's what that's about. And anything that is standing between us and our spiritual unity with God has to go. It must go. The eye is a symbol in the metaphorical language of the East. One often hears it said, "Cut your eye from my boy," which means, "Do not envy my boy." Or, "Do not cut your eye from my family while I am away," which means, "Look after their best interest in my absence." It's much different than what it says, but metaphorical. And in our own idiom, we say, "Keep an eye on him," which means to take care of him. We also say, "Keep your eyes skinned," which means be watchful. Jesus wants us to root thoughts of envy, lust, covetousness, and greed. Just wants those to be cut out of our lives. He says it's better to lose the things we want, or we think we want, than to acquire habits which would ultimately destroy our whole lives. And you know this happens. It really does. We've seen people like this in our lives. And to cut off your hand in Aramaic means much the same thing. People often say to each other, "Cut off the hand from my vineyard," which really means stop stealing my grapes. Yeah, cut your hand off from my vineyard. Ooh. And his hand is too long. He's a thief. Jesus refers to the right eye and the right hand. This is a very important point. Right refers to what is good and right, and left refers to what is evil and wrong. If it had been the left eye or hand, it would mean the evil kind of envy, or selfishness, or even dishonestness. But the right eye or hand refers to those situations which your intent has been misjudged and where you have been unjustly treated. We've all had situations like that, haven't we? Yeah. And so anyhow, that is such a powerful statement there. And one of the great problems that has continued to trouble theologians, and of course the students of theologians, comes from the, as Butterworth put it, strange proclivity of teachers and of whole schools of religion to try to get understanding of the scripture without really trying to understand the idiom of what was spoken. This book, it just goes on and on and on. It's powerful. So all sorts of sermonizing has been given to the idea of plucking out the eye and cutting off the arm. And as a matter of fact, some of you may even know that there are places in the world still to this day that this happens, all of which indicates we don't use a lot of common sense in trying to understand our scriptures, and then some. And then the other thing is, the last reading I want to read to you out of the book is, I love how Butterworth says, we may wonder why Jesus always uses these extreme situations as illustrations. And this just says it so beautifully. So, he uses these extreme cases for his illustrations because we can only assume he was a master psychologist. He knew human nature as no one has before or since. If he talked about anger without cause, and in this instance of actual lust or stealing, this would have opened the door to much hypocrisy. You'd be standing there, it's like, whoa, that's a terrible story. That doesn't apply to me. Well, you know, the funny thing is, the Bible, with the Gospels of Jesus, there is no escape. The emphasis is upon us, you, me, everyone, in every single circumstance. He deals not with abstract commandments or vague religious ideals, no, but with basic thoughts and feelings. Everyone has had the experience of being unjustly treated for some act of good intention. Everyone has had that experience. And Jesus is saying, even in these instances, if you are angry or upset or grieving too much, cut it out. Let it go. And that's sometimes a lofty goal, but the fact is the reward is so much more. Praise God for that. So it's always better to lose the things we want than acquiring habits that are going to destroy us. And we can only assume it was because, well, Jesus has seen a lot of it. Yeah, oh my gosh. And it would be easy to nod our heads, agree, yeah. But Jesus is still saying, don't separate yourself from me with your thinking, with your actions, with your behavior. I want to, this past week we have had wonderful, wonderful discussions in both of the study groups that I have been in. Just powerful things on blessings, on children. Those were powerful. On our self-awareness, all of that. And I want to share two different situations. One is, okay, it's about me. And it's a very petty situation of non-resistance. I had heard that, well, this one person said this, such and such about me, and this other person said such and such about me. And it was like, gosh, that's not fair. That's not fair. They don't know the truth about me. You know, I lugged that baby around for months. It was terrible. It was just, I mean, I can say that now, but nobody else could. No, just kidding. And I went through this anger and resistance. And at the time I wrote this talk, I still had a teensy bit of the anger about it. I mean, give it a rest. Well, I just pray. Maybe you can hold the high watch for me on that one. But I have done quite well so far. Whew. And then this one is the most beautiful case of non-resistance that you'll ever hear, in my opinion. It involves one of my beautiful, beautiful grandchildren, 8 years old. She recently had made her first communion, and she just loves religion. She's, you know, they're Catholic. She just, if you could see, it warms your heart to see this little girl with what she thinks of God. She has told me about holy water, and I said, yeah, well, you bless us. You know, you don't have to have me bless you. She said, you know, you're pretty smart, Nana. You know a lot of stuff. And I said, well, thank you, angel girl. And then her other great-grandma said, she's just such a holy little girl. And she is, at 8 years old. We have talked about this in our classes this past week, and you know, there's no accidents in the universe. It really isn't. We all have talked about how children, maybe by the time they're five, and we've all heard stories, how they kind of lose their memory of where they came from God, from Jesus, all of that. Because life, you know, they have to grow up, they have to go to school, all that, and they just lose it. And you've even heard children say, I can't remember God very good anymore. I don't remember what Jesus looks like anymore. And which is really something. But this little girl is 8 years old. And it's the most beautiful case of non-resistance taught by a child. September 23rd, this little girl went on a camping trip with her dad and her grandpa and her other grandma. And she was on a walk with her dad and her grandpa, and she was in the middle. And they were walking, and all of a sudden, Addie heard a noise, and she turned around and said, Daddy, something happened to Grandpa. He's laying on the ground. And sure enough, he had fallen. He was laying on the ground, and Mario knew he had died. So he, right away, Adeline, she said, I'll call 911, huh, Daddy? And so she did, and then he said, go into the truck, put the blanket over your head, you don't want to see all of this, honey. So she did and had called 911. The fire department came and pronounced him dead. This little girl watched her grandpa, who she loved so, so much, she watched him die. And the chaplain in the fire department said, he was in the truck with Addie and said, this is the most beautiful honor that you could ever have had. And Addie said, why? And she was crying. She said, because to share the last moments of your life with someone that you love, and he adored that little girl, is just a total honor. And that the tears stopped, and she said, oh. And she just, well, let me just tell you, that little girl, she's amazing. She is a pillar of belief, of non-resistance. That little girl walks around. Since then, I went to the funeral with them, and she was touching her grandpa and telling me everything, all the stuff that happened. She said, no, look at his mouth. He's smiling. He was smiling the day he died. And then she did say one thing. She said, I hope they're nice to him when they put him away, but he just always, always is smiling. And she said, I love him. And you can say she might be in shock or something like that. But she has seen psychologists, school psychologists. She has seen her minister, her priest at church. She loves all of that. And she has talked to her Nana, who also is a minister. And you know what? Every single one of us has walked away from this little girl feeling so unbelievably blessed. I told her yesterday, Alan Grace, I am going to talk about you tomorrow. She said, wow, what'd I do, Nana? I said, you were just this glorious little girl every second of every day. Praise God, and I am so glad that I love you. And she's just, but what a beautiful case of non-resistance, my friends. Total non-resistance. She let it go and loves him from a distance now. That is what God has for every single one of us, my friends. So as Reverend Butterworth says, If anything is coming between you and God, let it go. Cut it out of your life. Don't pick it up anymore. My friends, let's do our best to let anything that's coming between our consciousness of God, let's let it go so we can walk around like that little 8-year-old girl, strong, healthy, courageous. Sweet Spirit, that is my talk. I am so proud to know this little girl and Eric Butterworth and this book. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen.
A dream that I want to see in the sun. Behind my eyes there lives a me. I've been hiding for much too long, cause I've been too afraid to let it show. Cause I'm scared of the judgment that may follow. Always putting up my living for tomorrow. Time to step out on faith. Gotta show my faith. It's been elusive for so long. Freedom is mine today. Gotta step out on faith. Gotta show my faith. Procrastination had me down. Look what I have found. I found strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. Strength, courage, and wisdom. Inside of me. Behind my pride there lives in me that knows humility. Inside my voice there is a soul. Inside my soul there is a voice. But I've been too afraid to make a choice, cause I'm scared of the things that I might be missing. Running too fast to stop and listen. It's time to step out on faith. Time to show my faith. It's been elusive for so long, but freedom is mine today. Gotta step out on faith. Gonna show
Bravo.
Look at this band.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Ben. It's been a great morning for music. Thank you. And thank you, Reverend Jeanette. Thank you, Nia. We're glad you're part of this service as well. At this point, we're going to invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis as we prepare our tithes, our gifts, and our offerings. Those of you that are streaming with us, we also invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. You can do so on a secured website. I invite the ushers to come forth as we prepare our gifts. If you're giving your gift with someone, by all means, hold it together. Bless it together. You have the power to bless. So let's go within again, into that place, that stillness, that peace that we know. And as we go within, we know and we give thanks that God is truly the source of all good in our life. And for that, we are grateful. I'll affirm our offertory blessing, then ask you to affirm it with me, and then silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And silently. Thank you, God. Amen. So let us take a moment as we bless these gifts. We bless the gifts that's been received in the mail this week. We bless those participating in our consistent giving program, unexpected income program. We bless all of these gifts, and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. Did you know that 40 days from now is Thanksgiving? I'm sure you've already counted that up on your calendar, right? 40 days. But we're going to invite you to enter your journey within through a journal of gratitude. It's a 40-day journal. Gratitude is a game changer. Gratitude can change your life, my friends. And in this journal, what happens, it gives us the opportunity to record 10 things every day that we are grateful for. Now, why does that work? You know, it's not like someone says, oh, Reverend Pat's grateful. Let me go show him everything he wants or everything he needs. It's because you're practicing the spiritual law and the power of words and the power of thought. And when we put those things down, the universe reacts to it. We know that third principle. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. And we know the power of spoken word. So when we speak that word, it is creative and it comes back to us. So I invite you to pick up a journal on the way out. The other thing I want to share with you again is this afternoon at 1:30, I said 1 o'clock in the previous service, 1:30 is Nia Claire. She's presenting a meditation class. And if you're a beginner or whatever, what experience you have with meditation, zero experience, come and be a part of that class. It will be a fabulous experience for you. You just thought you wanted to listen to the Packer in the Vikings game. Needless to say, God is present there too, but more present in the meditation class. Don't you think so? No, but come and be a part of that as well. Also, next week, we'll continue our series, and I am blessed to be able to speak on the topic of forgiveness. How does God forgive? How does God forgive? Come and be a part of that service as well. We look forward to having you again here next week. Let's stand. Let's bring our children in. I know who they belong to, so let's bring them in. Walking in the light of God, in the light, in the light.
Nancy is communing with nature. I hope she's enjoying the rain. Our lesson upstairs today was about families and how there's many different kinds of families. And I have a question for you if you'd like to have more family in your life. We are looking for someone to help out in the nursery. Work with these little guys. And I have three reasons why it's a good idea. First of all, it will make more joy in your life. Could anyone not want more joy? Second, you get plenty of cuddles. And third, it's a gift to the parents so they can attend the service and really enjoy the service. It's a paid position. It's on Sundays and special events. There's forms to fill out in the garden court, and then you can drop them off, and Nancy will give you a call. And we hope that this is something that might speak to your heart, something to do that's really for yourself as well as your spiritual community.
Thank you. And I want to acknowledge all of these adult volunteers that are on the platform. Hey, I want you. Yeah. And then I don't do this often enough. I mean, these are adorable children. Don't you want to take about six of them home with you? You know, it's just cheaper by the dozen, aren't they? So if you're a parent or a grandparent of these children, just wave your hand. Oh, my goodness. Look around the room here. These parents need applauding. That's for sure. That's for sure. Wow. Wow. Let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us wherever we are.
God is.
And all is well. And speak to at least three people before you leave the sanctuary today. Our peace song.
Bye.
that you must go other places.